The Shoplifter, a new play for radio by A.R. Rawlinson, with Elizabeth Proud as May, Christopher Good as Tom, Sean Barrett as Mervyn, and James Cousins as Harvey Grinton. The play opens in the office of Harvey Grinton, the security officer of a Kensington High Street store. It's 4:30 in the afternoon in the present day.
At first sight, they may appear distressingly large, but to secure a true comparison between the figures for the current theft losses and those of the previous year, it is important to recognize... Damn. Come in. What is it, Miss Allardyce?
Sorry to disturb you, Mr. Grinton.
I'm trying to dictate the final statistics so that you can type them straight away.
I do realize that, Mr. Grinton, but Mrs. Fryer from Haberdashery is here with the suspect.
I've forgotten all about them. Well, they'll have to wait.
The suspect is an elderly lady, and she's getting rather impatient.
What do you mean by elderly?
Well, not old by any means, but she's well into her 60s.
The nice genteel type?
You could put it that way, Mr. Grinton.
They're usually the worst of the lot. I suppose she's indulging in hysterics.
On the contrary, she's completely calm. All she wants, she says, is to get this unfortunate mistake cleared up and go home.
Well, that suits me. I think you gave me the details, didn't you?
I put them on your desk. I've got a shopping bag in my room.
Here we are. The stock excuse. Just absent-mindedness. That shouldn't take long. Let's show her in.
Very good, Mr. Grinton. And Mrs. Fryer?
Yes. No, it'll probably be quicker if I see the old lady alone. I'll buzz through if I need Mrs. Fryer. It's important to recognize the normal variations in gross loss as between the various departments of the store. It cannot be too strongly emphasized. It cannot be too strongly emphasized. Come.
Mrs. Bridgerton, Mr. Grinton.
Ah, yes. Sit down, please.
Yeah.
My name is Grinton. Harvey Grinton.
Yes, so the lady has told me, and I gather that you're in charge of what is called security, and you're a very busy man. So the sooner we clear up this stupid little misunderstanding, the better for both of us.
Yes, yes. I take it that Mrs. Bridgerton is your real name.
Well, I wouldn't call myself that if it wasn't. Mm.
And your Christian name?
Just May. I've never really much cared for it, but my parents didn't give me another one, so I've no choice.
You're married?
A widow. I live in 121A Pemberton Street, off the Earl's Court Road. Oh, you can confirm the address by looking in the telephone book.
Any family?
If you mean children, unfortunately, no.
Thank you. Now, it has been reported to me...
that I stole some goods from your shop. And, of course, it's quite untrue.
I have here a list of the articles which were found in your shopping bag after you'd left the store.
Oh, may I see it, please?
Well, yes, if you wish.
Thank you. No, I'm afraid that isn't quite correct.
Are you denying?
I'm just saying this list isn't correct. There's no mention of a pair of stockings which were also in the bag.
Very well, we'll add that to the list.
Thank you. So important to have all the details correct.
Now, can you produce any evidence that you paid for the goods on this list?
No, of course I can't. If I'd paid for them, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you, would I?
You admit that none of the goods were wrapped up.
Well, how could they have been? I mean, surely, Mr. Grinton, you're sufficiently familiar with the procedure in your own shop to know that nothing is wrapped up until it's been paid for at the pay desk.
Of course I'm familiar with our procedure, madam. It's this very fact that leads me to the inescapable conclusion that it was your intention to steal these goods.
You know, I really don't think you have the right to say that to me until I've explained to you what happened.
I'm prepared to listen to anything you have to say.
So I should hope, or we're both wasting our time.
Then please go ahead.
Well... every week, I potter around your shop, collecting the bits and pieces that I need, and then I take them to the pay desk.
But today you didn't.
Ah, that's the whole point. I was on my way to the pay desk, and then I happened to catch sight of the clock, and to my horror, I saw it was 4:15.
Well, we don't close till 5:30.
I am perfectly aware when the shop closes, Mr. Grinton. What you're not aware of is my predicament. At 4:30, I was due to have tea with Mrs. Ledbetter. She lives on the floor below me in Pemberton Street. She's the most punctual person in the world.
So, regardless of the fact that you had a quantity of our goods in your shopping bag, you hurried out of the store without paying.
If you knew Mrs. Ledbetter, Mr. Grinton, I think you would have done the same.
Are you trying to say it was all just an absent-minded mistake?
Exactly.
Most days, madam, I must believe that unpaid-for goods found in customer shopping bags got there of their own accord.
I imagine you're much too intelligent to be taken in by that sort of rubbish.
I am, Mrs. Bridgerton. So will you please answer me this question? Have you ever done this sort of thing before?
What sort of thing?
Tried to steal something.
Oh, no. At least.
Answer me, please.
It was a very long time ago.
Then you admit that you have stolen before?
Not quite. I did once help to steal something.
And what was it you helped to steal?
An ocean-going liner. A ship, you know.
Oh, Mrs. Bridgerton, can't you realize this is no joking matter?
I'm not joking. I did once help to steal a liner.
When was this?
During the war.
Where?
West Africa.
Go on.
Oh, it's a long story.
All I want are the bare facts.
Facts aren't much use if you don't understand the circumstances which give rise to them. I suppose the whole matter started in Surbiton.
Surbiton?
Surbiton. I was living there with my parents, you see. Oh, it was 1939. I remember it was a perfectly glorious spring morning. All the blossom out, sunshine and showers, typical April weather.
I don't need the meteorological details.
They're quite important, you know. Everyone behaves differently when the sun's shining. In England, that is. In West Africa, it can be rather dry.
Yes, very well. Go on. I won't interrupt you again.
Well, it was that morning that Tom's letter arrived. And
Tom?
I...
Who's Tom?
Sorry. I was a little late that morning, and the rest of the family were having breakfast. My mother and father, and my younger brother and sister.
I can't think what's happened to May this morning.
Well, she washed her hair last night, Mother.
I can't see why that. She made her late for breakfast.
Yeah. She knew what was lying on her plate.
Yes, she'd have rushed down in a nightgown.
Not me, dear. She's not a spare of the moment, like you.
Mm. That letter's postmarked Lagos, and that's Nigeria.
Ah, that's a bad habit to get into, Bill. Snooping on other people's correspondence.
But, Dad, it's from Tom.
And we all know he's her boyfriend.
Oh, dear. How I dislike that expression.
What's wrong with it? May's a girl and he's a boy and they're friends.
In my young days, they were known as beaux. So much nicer.
Ah, but you had them in the plural, Mother. Nowadays, we're quite content to have one as sign.
Yeah, well, judging by the number of men swarming around her at the tennis club dance, May wouldn't agree with you.
Oh, John, that's not fair. May wasn't serious about any of them.
Mm, but she is about Tom. So she ought to be. He's a pretty good chap.
Mm. Ah, there I agree with you, Bill. I like Tom Bridgerton. Not that I see all that much of him.
Oh, that's the trouble nowadays. Whenever a girl really looks like clicking with a fellow, she finds he's got a job in the colonial service. Morning, everybody.
Oh,
sorry.
Hello.
Good morning, May.
There you are.
I was in the middle of writing a letter.
To Tom, I'll bet. Yeah, if you look on your plate, you'll see he's beaten you to it.
Oh, so he has.
Eat your eggs and bacon while they're still warm, May.
Hmm, that shows you how times have changed.
What does?
Well, in Mother's Day, she'd have tucked the letter into her bosom to read when she was locked in her bedroom.
What rubbish. You make me sound as though I were contemporary of Jane Austen.
Oh, well, Jane Austen didn't have any.
Good gracious. What's the date today, please?
April the 9th.
Oh, dear, that makes it such a rush still.
What are you talking about?
Tom's got his promotion.
What so?
Oh. D.O.
But he always was a D.O.
In the Nigerian colonial service.
No,
he was an A.D.O., assistant district officer. And we both agreed we couldn't get married until he became a D.O.
You? What?
Oh,
did you say?
Well, it couldn't have been done, Mother. The pay just wouldn't have stood it.
Now, wait a minute. Are you telling us that you and Tom have been secretly engaged?
Oh, no, there was nothing particularly secret about it. There just didn't seem any point in making it public till he got his promotion. Now he has. Well, isn't anybody going to congratulate me?
Don't you realize this has come as a bit of a shock?
Surely you could have taken your mother and me into your confidence.
Oh, Dad, that's not fair. I've told you directly I've had anything to tell.
I don't think you realize the situation. Our elder daughter tells us out of the blue she's proposing to get married, full stop. But our wedding's a family affair. We're all affected by it.
But not as much as the bride and bridegroom.
Surely they come first.
What you've got to remember, May, is that it's the bride's parents that are responsible for organizing the wedding.
That's
and
right.
That needs time.
No worries there. Tom can't get home leave for over a year.
Oh,
so he
that
me to
does
come.
Make it sound a bit more reasonable. I mean, they're all the clothes to be thought of.
Oh, yeah, Mother, let me finish. Tom doesn't see any point in waiting for a year, so he wants me to go out to Lagos and get married there.
What?
No! His resident's wife. She's terribly nice, very kind. I met her when Tom was on his last leave, and she's promised to see me through, and the resident himself will give me away.
I've never heard of such a thing in my life.
As Tom says in his letter, no one could expect you and Dad to spare the time to come all the way to Lagos. Never mind the cost of the passages.
That's got nothing to do with Tom.
Oh, Dad, we're only trying to be practical. Tom's booked my passage and he's paying for it himself.
But, May, you can't go by yourself.
Why not?
Well, even if you were an experienced traveller.
Which you're not. Listen, May, I don't think you realise what you're letting yourself in for.
No, I don't, Mother. But I've got to risk it.
That's rubbish. You can tell Tom I won't permit it.
It isn't a question of permission, Dad. I shall be 26 next birthday. And I've got to make up my mind for myself.
How can you, May, with your limited experience?
I have already done so. If that's the way that Tom wants it, that's the way it's going to be. Nothing anybody says is going to stop me sailing for West Africa on April the 29th.
Wonderful night.
Oh, it's pretty hot.
Not for West Africa. But you'll soon get used to it.
Good dance, isn't it?
Most enjoyable.
Then why haven't you shown up at any of the other dances?
How do you know I haven't?
Oh, these ship's officers make a point of knowing what our passengers are up to. So, what's your excuse?
I never make excuses.
Ah, you always tell the truth?
Always.
Right. And come clean. Why is this your first appearance?
Well, tonight, for the first time on the voyage, the sea's calm.
You're a bad sailor.
Ever since we left Tilbury, I've been lying flat on my back, hoping I'd die.
But now life seems worth living again, hmm?
Oh, as long as the weather stays like this. Which I hope it will, till we reach Lagos.
Tomorrow.
Can't be too soon for me.
I imagine there'll be someone to meet you.
I hope so.
Is it permitted to ask who?
My fiancé.
Oh.
I've come out to be married.
If I may say so, he's a very lucky man.
I hope he is.
Hope.
That I'll make the grade.
Oh, of course you will.
Well, I imagine West Africa's a bit different from what I'm used to.
That's inevitable. I only hope it won't disappoint you.
Once I'm with Tom, life will be perfectly normal.
Won't be long now before she docks.
I must say, Tom, for a chap waiting to meet a girl he hasn't seen for nearly a year, you're remarkably calm.
Why on earth shouldn't I be? May and I are getting married.
Supposing she's met some charmer on the boat.
Quite possible.
But you're still confident in your own sex appeal.
I'm confident in May. Once she's made up her mind, that's it. She never has second thoughts.
Speaking of one D.O. with considerable experience to another D.O. who has very little, watch out you don't become big-headed.
And you watch out you don't become a pompous ass, Murphy. Just because you happen to be stationed here in Lagos, hobnobbing with the governor and other local bigwigs.
Well, she's alongside. Quite a crowd lining the boat deck rails. Any sign of her?
Not so far.
Oh, here comes your resident and his missus.
They said they'd try and get down to meet May.
You do know them, don't you?
Of course I know Jimmy Spend and Mrs. Jimmy.
Any sign of your girl yet?
No.
Then you look a bloody fool if he's not on board.
Here we are, Bridgerton. I gather we've just made it in time.
Yes, sir. Brother, May's not yet off the ship.
Oh, good. I wanted May to see a familiar face to greet her.
I imagine she might recognize Tom,
dear. Oh, you know what I mean.
I think you know Mervyn Grant Anderson.
Yes, of course. You're going to be best man, aren't you?
Well, that's the idea, Mrs. Stent. Not a very suitable choice, I'm afraid.
Now, stop running yourself down.
Looks as if most of the passengers have already disembarked.
I say, Tom, who's the girl by herself?
Over there.
It's May.
Ah. Go on, Tom. Nip over to the gangway and greet her. We'll follow more sedately.
Hello, May.
Hello, Tom.
Are you all right?
Yes. Yes, I am now.
Hardly what I'd call an emotional encounter.
They're completely tongue-tied, poor darlings. May, I can't tell you how delighted I am to see you.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Sen. It's awfully kind of you to come and meet me.
Oh, nonsense. It's the natural thing to do. I don't think you've met my husband.
No, it's about time we did meet. How can I give away someone I don't know?
Please don't worry about that, Mr. Sen. It's only symbolic, you know.
Huh? Oh, yes, of course.
If it's any bother to you, I'll give myself away.
Yes. Well, the least you can do, Tom, is to introduce me. Even though I'm only to be the best man.
Sorry. May, this is Mervyn Grant Ellison.
I was sure it was the moment I saw you.
Oh, so I look like a best man, do I? I hope not on the principle of always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
I can't answer that until I know you better.
No. No, I suppose you can't.
Well, now, suppose we get along. You come with us in the car, May.
Thank you.
We'll leave the bridegroom-to-be and his best man to cope with your baggage. Now, we'll all meet at dinner tonight and get down to arrangements. After all, the wedding's the day after tomorrow.
You haven't told us anything about the voyage out yet, May.
There isn't much to tell, Mr. Send. I spent it almost entirely alone.
That's bad. Usually one finds a very cheerful crowd on those boats, especially the ship's officers.
There was one who was very kind.
Was that the chap who organized your baggage?
Mm.
He struck me as a bit of a lounge lizard.
Well, it's their job, Tom, to see that the passengers have an enjoyable and comfortable trip.
Oh, it wasn't anybody's fault that I was on my own. You see, I'm a shocking sailor.
Oh, poor dear.
I was seasick from the moment we sailed right up to yesterday.
Ah, so there were moments when you'd have given anything not to have come.
Yeah. Well, of course there weren't. I'd have been glad to die at the time, but that's quite different.
So you're not an experienced traveller?
No, Mr. Send. Up till now, I've been very much a home bird.
But you enjoy new experiences?
Not for themselves. I'm not what you'd call a sightseer.
Then I wonder you can.
I came to marry Tom.
I miss that.
May's paying you compliments, Tom. But as I don't want one of my dears to get cocky, please keep him out of our conversation, Jenny.
Orders. You'll have to concentrate on me, Tom.
Yes, of course. So, what it amounts to is you're prepared to face hell and high water to get what you want.
Hell's no problem, because I don't believe in it. But I have faced high water. Well, rough water, anyway.
And not even that shook your purpose?
Certainly not. When I've made up my mind, I don't let anything put me off.
That's splendid, my dear. Hang on to that philosophy and you'll be all right.
I call it downright gallant.
I call it common sense, Mr. Grant Ellison.
Look, as I'm going to be best man, couldn't you bring yourself to call me Mervyn?
I'll ask Tom if he thinks it's all right.
I don't think you'll have any objections.
Oh, in that case, of course I will. It's just that it's different from what I'm used to. I've never been much of a one for Christian names.
You're bound to find life out here a bit different, May. In detail, that is. Not, of course, in essence.
For instance, do you ride?
A bicycle, certainly. I've never tried on a horse, but I'll soon learn.
Good deal.
I suppose it's really essential I should, so that I can keep Tom company when he goes on trek through the bush.
Ah, that's when you'll need the bicycle.
Oh?
In our province, we can't use horses. It's tsetse country.
Tsetse?
A fly with a poisonous sting, fatal to horses and cattle.
Oh, but not to bicycle tires.
What's the joke?
Oh, have I said something stupid?
No, no, my dear. Apt and funny.
Oh, surely not. I'm no good at making jokes.
Oh, come along, May. I think it's time for the ladies to retire.
Yes, of course.
There's such a lot to arrange in a very little time. We'll co-opt Tom, leaving you, my dear, to entertain Mr. Brown.
No, that's all right. First time you've been taken for a lady, eh, Tom? Glass of port.
Thank you, sir.
Well, Grant Ellison, what's your verdict?
I'm damned if I know, sir.
I like her.
No, I'm not saying I don't, but it's a tricky situation.
In what way?
With her background and her nature, can you see her coping out here?
Well, she says she'll learn. I think she probably will.
What really bothers me, sir, is I don't believe she's got a sense of humour.
Well, you can't expect a girl to have everything.
I'd have said it's pretty important, especially out here.
What about Tom?
Oh, he's got a good sense of the ridiculous. One can always make him laugh.
In the final analysis, laughter isn't everything. May has one great compensation.
Which is, sir?
Guts.
Oh, now, look here, Mrs. Bridgerton, this won't do.
What won't, Mr. Grinton?
What you told me. It was a private conversation between Mervyn and Mr. Senn.
That's right.
Well, how could you have possibly known anything about it?
Because Mervyn told me.
When?
Well, later on, of course. You'll see how it works in when I get there.
Mrs. Bridgerton, all I'm asking for are basic facts and not getting them.
What an impatient man you are. I'm giving you the facts one by one as they happen.
Then may I have the next fact, please?
Well, that's our honeymoon.
And it was on your honeymoon that you helped to steal this liner?
Of course not. It wasn't there then.
Wasn't where?
Fernando Po. It's a pity, in a way, because the Cameroons are much nearer to Fernando Po than Nigeria is.
The Cameroons?
Yes, that's where we spent our honeymoon. You know all about the Cameroons, of course.
I know nothing about the Cameroons.
Oh, perhaps geography isn't your strong point.
My geography, madam.
No, well, never mind, never mind. I'll explain it to you. You see, in those days, they were mandated territory from the League of Nations.
You mean, I suppose, the United Nations?
No, I don't. The territory was captured from the Germans in the First World War and was divided by the League of Nations into the British Mandate, which bordered on Nigeria, and the French Mandate, which bordered on the British bit. Now, Tom had once done some detachment duty in the British zone, so he knew it quite well. He'd also got to know some of his opposite numbers in the French bit.
Look, Mrs. Bridgerton, I'm not really very interested in the Cameroons.
Oh, you should be, you know. It's a beautiful country. What's more, it's free from fly.
Free from what?
Tsetse fly, which means it's all right for the horses. That's why we went there for our honeymoon, so that Tom could teach me to ride.
Oh, yes, yes. I gather that was essential if you were to accompany your husband on trek in the bush.
Oh, dear, I'm afraid you've got it all wrong. It's bicycles in the bush.
There's no need to ring your bell all the time.
Well, it's a very twisty truck.
The boys are making enough din to scare man or beast off the trail for miles.
Tom, can we stop a minute?
All right.
I'm out of breath. Oh. How long is it since we left Enugu?
8 days. Finding it hard going?
Oh, no. I've never enjoyed anything so much. You know, I'm much happier on a bike than on a horse. Somehow, it's all sort of romantic.
I wouldn't call bikes romantic.
Well, what I mean is, it's as if it was all happening at the pictures. 26 carriers, great loads on their heads, our own cook, 3 servants.
And Stephen.
Why do we call him head boy? I mean, he must be nearly 40.
Well, we have done. Some of the chaps call him steward. What matters is to get a boy who knows his stuff. Mm. Oh, come on.
Right. Tom?
Yes?
Let's camp early this evening.
Why? You tired?
Oh, not particularly. But the sky's clear, and we could have our meal in the open instead of in the tent.
Fine, Bummy. I'll fix it.
Good.
Stephen?
Stephen!
Thank you.
jolly good.
Enjoyed your chop?
Oh, it wasn't chops. It was...
Chop, old girl. Bit in English for food.
That's one thing I hadn't allowed for. Having to learn a new language.
You'll soon pick it up. By the way, tomorrow's only a short trek. Then we settle down for 2 or 3 days. That's when Stephen and the cook will really surprise you.
Oh, I'll be quite content to leave it to them. Oh, I think I'll turn in.
Right. I'll just finish my pipe.
Tom!
Yeah?
Tom, quickly!
What is it?
Oh, please, Tom, quickly if you can.
On my way. What is it?
There's something over there, in the corner.
What's the panic, is it? Keep still, mate.
What?
Keep absolutely still. Don't move.
What are you going to do?
That's it. You can relax.
What was it?
A hooded cobra.
It's
all right. I've blown its head off.
There's one thing in the world I'm terrified of, it's snakes.
A lot of them are quite harmless. Like our grass snake back home. When I was at school, I had one as a pet. It used to live up the sleeve of my jacket.
Oh, horrible bone.
Actually, you want to watch out for hooded cobras. They're about the most poisonous of the lot.
You never told me there were snakes in the bush.
You can go for weeks without seeing one, and then suddenly run into a bevy of them.
A bevy of snakes? Oh, that can't be right.
Why not?
Well, a bevy of beauties, if you like, but...
What would you say if I did like?
Nothing.
You wouldn't be jealous?
No.
Why not?
Well, because I trust you.
I thought all women believed their husbands had a roving eye.
Oh, Tom, stop it.
You're only joking, no?
I don't see anything funny in that sort of remark.
Sorry, old girl. I didn't realize how much it had shaken you up.
Well, I'll be on tenterhooks all tomorrow, just in case
it... No, all you've got to do is to stay put. I'll get the boys to comb through the bush. Why didn't you have a long lie in and listen to the wireless? I'll be back early. Hello, May. I'm back.
Oh, thank God. Oh.
Still a bit nervy, eh?
Oh.
What's worrying you?
Tom, it's war.
Oh. What on earth?
They've declared war. I heard it on the wireless.
Who's declared war on whom?
We have, on Germany. The Prime Minister broadcast the news himself.
My God. I thought it was just another crisis.
Oh, never mind that. What are we going to do?
I know what I shall do. Join up.
The army?
Must be. I know nothing about the scene. I don't fancy flying.
Where will you join up?
At home.
Well, if you're going home, I'm coming with you.
Come to think of it, you may be a damn sight safer in Enugu than in London. There's bound to be bombing.
No, I can't help that. I shall join the Red Cross or something. I couldn't bear not to be in England if there's going to be a war.
All right, if that's the way you feel. The first thing we've got to do now is to get back to Enugu and tackle Jimmy Send.
Sorry, Tom. Can't be done.
But, sir...
Governor's orders. He's responsible for maintaining the administration of Nigeria. He can't spare any of his political officers.
But, Mr. Sen, that's not fair. Tom feels it's his duty to join up. So do I.
Well, you're not the only ones, my dear. But orders is orders.
Given the choice, most of us would wish to be in England, trying to do our bit with our own folk around us. But our first duty must be to the service we belong to.
But at my age, I mean all my contemporaries will be in the forces.
While you, Tom, will be back in the bush finishing off your tour in the normal way. Come.
Sorry to disturb you, sir, but just as I was closing the office, Mr. Grant Ellison arrived from Lagos.
Irving?
He's carrying urgent and confidential papers for you, sir, from His Excellency the Governor.
Show him in, man, at once.
This way, please.
I hope to make it during office hours.
Delighted to see you.
power, Mrs. Sand. Tom and May, too.
Oh, and I can answer for all of us. Pretty badly shaken.
Yes, everyone's in the same boat.
Will you have a drink? Unfortunately, Jenny and I are out for dinner tonight.
Ah, then perhaps you can spare me a few minutes straight away, sir. His Excellency told me to put you in the picture about these papers, and I must start back at crack of dawn.
We'll go along to the office. And perhaps, sir, we can give Mervyn dinner.
Put him up for the night as well.
If I may say so, jolly good meal. I'm glad Stephen's living up to his reputation.
Chalk it up to May. She's got him eating out of her hand.
You can cope with the pigeon, all right?
Oh, yes, thank you. I'm getting the hang of it now.
Now, push that decanter around and give us the lowdown.
Do you mind if I stay, since there aren't any other ladies?
You're welcome if you don't mind, sharp. To start with, Mervyn, how come you're carrying dispatches?
When war broke out, the governor was asked to appoint a sort of local king's messenger.
Just for Nigeria?
No. To include wherever there's a British interest in West Africa. Gambia, Sierra Leone, Gold Coast, British Cameroons, even as far south as the British consul in Fernando Po.
And you got the job?
By the grace of God, I did.
You lucky devil.
Carries some useful perks with it.
Such as?
An ocean-going motor launch.
I can't say I envy you that.
The chief attraction is that I'm my own master, with direct access to the governor and the resident minister in Lagos.
Then surely you could persuade them to play ball with those of us who want to join up?
Ah, not a chance. The governor got his instructions direct from the colonial office.
Mervyn, I suppose this job of yours is almost like being in the forces.
In a way. Technically, I'm on active service in a staff appointment.
Who wants to be on the staff? Active service means being in the front line.
Come along, Tom. It's very late. Time you're in bed.
I'm cleaning my teeth. Damn and blast.
Oh, never mind the glass. It can be cleared up in the morning. Come to bed.
Coming.
Mervyn's job has upset you, hasn't it?
I'm not blaming him.
No. Well, I know that.
He's a lucky, lucky bastard, that's all.
If I was Mervyn's wife, I'd agree with you.
What do you mean by that?
All the thrills, but not in the firing line.
That's not fair.
I can't help it, that's how I see it. It would never have suited you, you know?
Why on earth not?
Well, you'd never feel you were doing the right thing unless you were actually shooting and being shot at.
Rubbish.
You know perfectly well I'm right. And if you stopped to think for a minute, you'd know that I would be sick with anxiety.
Maybe, old girl, but...
There aren't any buts. Oh, Tom.
Hmm?
It may be selfish, but I'm looking forward to hopping on our bikes tomorrow morning and just freewheeling off into the bush. And I don't even care about the snake.
Mrs. Bridgerton, as far as I can see, we're no further forward whatsoever.
That's what I'm trying to explain to you, Mr. Grinton, nor was I. Oh, you can't imagine what I went through with Tom over the next 8 or 9 months. I don't expect you have any idea what frustration can do to a man.
Believe me, madam, I have a very shrewd idea.
Well, it lasted until June 1940. When we heard on the wireless of the collapse of France and the collaboration between the Vichy government and the Germans.
I should have thought that out in Nigeria that would have been the least of your worries.
On the contrary, the French general in command in the French Cameroons, he was a Vichy man.
Surely, Mrs. Bridgerton, it's not necessary to have to explore the whole political and military situation.
I'm just trying to make it easy for you to understand. Now, there were very few troops in the British Cameroons, and it was feared that the French might invade our zone and take over both territories. So, the governor of Nigeria agreed to raise a small contingent from the colonial service and send them to support the British military. And would you believe it? Tom got the job.
What job?
To command the contingent. Oh, he was like a dog with two tails. Off he went, hardly remembering to say goodbye to me. And it was then that things really started to happen.
Any chance anything to do with an ocean-going liner?
Oh, well done. I knew if I put it simply, you'd catch on. Yes, it was arranged that while Tom was away, I should stay with friends in Lagos. Well, I hadn't been there a couple of days before I ran into Mervyn, who invited me to dine with him at the British Club.
Coffee, sir?
Black, please.
Madam?
White, please.
Liqueur?
Oh, no, thank you. Tom always says they're apt to give one spots.
You haven't told me how the old chap's getting on.
All right, I imagine.
You imagine? And haven't you heard from him? Thank you.
Well, we agreed corresponding might be difficult, so no news would be good news.
Tell me, May, were you surprised when I asked you to come and dine?
Not surprised, exactly. Curious?
No. Why?
I was pretty sure you had something at the back of your mind besides comforting a grass widow.
Dead right. I was anxious to offer you a very humble apology.
What on earth for?
The day you arrived in Lagos, at the Sens' dinner party, I told Jim Sen that I didn't think you had much sense of humour.
I'm not a great one for laughing, I admit.
And Jim's reply was, sense of humour or no sense of humour, what she's got is guts.
Guts. I always feel that what it stands for deserves a much less ugly word.
There you are. That proves I couldn't have been more wrong.
Well, I knew you didn't really approve of me.
I was worried that you wouldn't be able to cope with life out here. And you have, magnificently.
Thank you, Mervyn. It's always pleasant to get a bit of encouragement. But...
But what?
Well, I have the feeling there's something else you want to talk to me about.
You're right, of course. There is. Would you consider a job while Tom's away in the Cameroons?
A job?
Something which might take your mind off the basic anxiety. You are anxious, aren't you?
Well, of course I am. Would this job be here in Lagos?
No, Santa Isabel.
Santa Isabel? I've never heard of it.
It's the capital of Fernando Po.
Well, I've only just heard of that.
Oh, it's an offshore island down by the Cameroons and a Spanish colony. I only got back from there a few days ago.
Oh, what were you doing there?
Delivering some confidential dispatches to the British consul. He introduced me to the Spanish governor's wife, whose mother was English. Consequently, she has a strong sympathy for the Allied cause.
She's a neutral.
Yes, in theory. But anyway, she has two small children, and their governess, who is English, has just gone sick and will be in hospital for at least 3 weeks. So she asked me if I knew of any English women in Lagos who would take on the job just temporarily.
Oh, but I couldn't be a governess. I don't know how to teach.
Oh, well, perhaps I should have said nursery governess. What she really wants is someone to look after the kids.
Oh, you mean a nanny.
Well, I...
It is May Bridgerton.
Oh, and with Mervyn Grant Ellison, of all people.
Don't see much of you in Lagos these days, Grant Ellison.
I have to get around a bit.
Oh, do tell me, my dear. What of Tom?
Oh, he's all right.
Oh, what a shatteringly anxious time you must be having. I mean, all that heavy fighting.
I gather the French have turned really tough.
What?
One wouldn't have expected a bloodbath in the Cameroon.
Why, do tell me. What does Tom say about
Nothing. I never ask him. Military matters have nothing to do with me.
How right you are. If I had my way, people who spread completely unfounded rumours ought to be shot. Come along, May.
Such rudeness.
Grant Ellison's getting too big for his boots.
I say, do you think it was because we caught them red-handed?
Shouldn't be surprised. Anyway, it's one way of getting a table. Hmm.
Where are we going?
Somewhere we can talk in peace and quiet, instead of being talked about.
It never struck me there might be talk.
It should have struck me.
I must say, you were pretty sharp with them.
Well, fancy saying that to you, about the fighting in the Cameroons, knowing Tom was there.
Hmm. Mervyn, do you think it's true that there's really been heavy fighting?
I know it isn't. I saw the governor and the resident minister this morning. They told me not a shot has been fired.
Oh, thank goodness. No. Where are we going?
To my launch.
Oh, if you think that I'm going sailing.
It's tied up to the jetty.
Yes, well, there it can stay.
Some more?
Please.
This is the first time I've seen you really relaxed this evening.
There's nothing so satisfying as a good cup of tea.
You won't expect me to agree with you.
You know, This cabin's really very cosy.
Oh, I prefer to call it the saloon. And it's as hot as hell in here during the day.
How many people can the boat carry?
Oh, we can sleep two in here and two in the cabin off the galley. The crew are up for it.
The crew?
An engineer and deckhand.
Oh, she's really quite big.
I told you, she's ocean-going. She brought me back from Fernando Po in under 48 hours. Which brings me back to the job I mentioned to you. What about it?
You want me to take it, don't you?
Yes.
Why?
I'd like to do the governor's wife a good turn.
For her sake or for yours?
Both. Come on, May, say you'll do it.
Sorry, Mervyn. Not until you tell me why.
I must say, May, you're damn difficult to do business with.
Not when I know what the business is.
Top secret business. War business.
Really?
Yes.
I don't see how I can be much help in that.
That's for me to judge. It means that I've got to gamble on you being able to keep your mouth shut.
Oh, well, that wouldn't be a gamble, Mervyn.
Grant Ellison, the War Cabinet knew all about this Italian ship from the moment she took refuge in Spanish territorial waters when Italy declared war. And the Navy wanted to mount a raid to seize the vessel, arguing that such bucksheer tonnage would be set off against the submarine sinkings. But it was turned down flat.
Can you wonder? A hostile act against Spain's neutrality might have brought her into the war.
And keeping Spain neutral is part of our overall strategy.
But I've never had in mind intervention by the armed forces, sir.
Then how the blazes do you propose to get hold of the ship?
Steal her, sir.
What?
She's lying with her stern tied up to one of the breakwaters and her bow pointing out towards the harbour entrance, held by her anchor. A few light-fingered civilians arrive on a dark night, knock out any of the watch on duty. I'm told they're terribly slack. Cut the hawsers, blow the anchor chain with plastic explosive, and then away they go. That's not an act of war, sir. Just plain petty thieving.
Mm. And how do you expect a bunch of civilians to navigate a ship of that size?
Tow her, sir. They'd arrive from Lagos in a tug.
And tow her back all that way?
No, no, sir. Just 3 miles, till she's outside Spanish territorial waters. Then up come the Navy, put a prize crew on board, and we're 15,000 tons to the good.
You think the Navy would play?
Well, from inquiries I've made at my level, I'm pretty sure they'd jump at it.
I don't think the Navy would prove difficult, but who's going to plan it all?
It's half planned already, sir. I got a lot of dope from the British consul. Indeed, it was he who really put the idea into my head.
This consul, Norton, isn't it? Can you trust him?
I believe he's okay, sir, but I'd prefer him to be checked by MI6 first.
Well, naturally, that would present no difficulty, but in any case, as British consul, he mustn't be involved in any way.
Oh, I fully realise that, sir. That's why I propose to put in a contact of my own in Santa Isabel and only use the consul as a channel of communication. As to the actual operation...
Just a minute. I think the governor will agree with me that if you do bring it off, it's best that neither of us has any knowledge of the details.
What?
Well, if it's in any way official, I'm bound to have to veto it.
I'm not asking for any official support, sir. I'm prepared to carry the can.
You realize that if you do bring it off, your governor and I will probably get all the credit. And if you should fail, everyone will be down on you like a ton of bricks, and we won't lift a finger to help.
Oh, that's okay by me, sir. I've earmarked 2 chaps from the Marine Department and an ex-sapper who can cope with the explosives. If I may have your permission to recruit 6 reliable blokes from our service, just for 1 week, that's all I ask.
And you're suggesting that I should be your... contact?
Yes.
But why me, of all people?
Because this job with the Spanish governor's wife gives the perfect cover.
Oh, but I've no experience of this sort of secret thing. I don't even know that I'm competent to look after the children.
Rubbish. You've got a younger brother and sister, haven't you?
Well...
And I gather from Tom you managed to control them all right. Well, besides, there's no reason for the governor's wife to know that you haven't got a family of your own.
I'm not going to tell unnecessary lies. It'll be bad enough telling the necessary ones. Oh, I still don't understand what idea of what you want me to do.
Be my local eyes and ears.
Well, what do you want me to see and hear?
I'll give you notes which you can memorize on the voyage down and then burn. They'll include a very simple code which you can use in your letters and telegrams.
You mean I just go to the post office?
No. Hand them over to Norton and he'll see they go. He knows you're a devoted wife.
Well, at least that's true.
And that you like to write, or even cable, to your husband every day.
How do I address them?
To Tom, at my address here in Lagos.
Yes, but Tom won't know what they're all about.
He won't get them. Everything that arrives addressed to Tom will be opened by me personally.
Oh. Suppose you want to get in touch with me.
Through Norton, in Tom's name and using the code.
I'm just beginning to appreciate one of the quotations I learned at school.
Quotation?
Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive.
Here we are, just in time. Now, here's an envelope containing a list of what I want you to report and the code.
Yes.
And make sure you burn them before you go ashore.
Marvin, I don't think I've got any matches.
Don't worry. Here's a box.
Thank you.
You'll be okay if you take my advice and head straight for the bar.
Oh, I shall head straight for my cabin and lie flat on my back in my bunk.
Oh, I've forgotten. You're not too good a sailor.
Well, on top of everything else you're asking of me, I should be glad if you'd remember that.
And here's a bit of comfort for you. A letter from Tom, the real Tom, which arrived this morning.
Dear May, I hope you're fit and enjoying life. Oh, Tom, if you only knew. Sorry I haven't written before, but we've been pretty busy. The campaign's going fine, but as a war, it's a washout, not a shot fired. Oh, thank God for that. I managed to contact some of the French chaps I knew and set about persuading them that De Gaulle was their man and not poor old Pétain and that Jacques Laval. But they funked disobeying their general, so I took a chance and barged into his headquarters and cornered him. Come in.
Buenos dias, senora. El desayuno.
What?
Breakfast, senora.
Oh, no. Take it away.
Perdoneme.
No quiero. Oh, I wish this bed would keep still. I think the old boy was mainly worried about his job. Anyhow, I got him to talk to the chaps, and when they told him they were for De Gaulle, he stepped over the boundary into our territory and demanded to be taken prisoner. He couldn't be parted from his enfant. So it ended in a right royal booze-up, and what those Frenchmen had in their cellar had to be drunk to be believed. To tell you the truth, which we always do to each other. Oh, Tom. I've such a hangover, I couldn't do anything else except scribble you a letter. Don't know when I'll get back. There's the devil of a lot of organizing to do. Anyhow, I know you're all right with the Stevens in Lagos, knitting your soul out for the Red Cross. Oh, I wish I was.
I'm sure. Welcome to Santa Isabel.
Mr. Norton.
That's right. It's a great pleasure to meet you.
And for me.
Hey, you must have had a very pleasant voyage.
Oh, well.
The weather's been very kind for this time of year. So often we get strong winds and a rough sea.
Oh, I'm glad I escaped those, Mr. Norton.
Well, I have my motor, so I suggest I take you and your baggage straight up to Government House.
What a beautiful place this is.
I hope that means you'll enjoy your stay with us.
If I give satisfaction to my employer, I shall. I'm not really sure just how good I'll be with the children.
Oh, what an enormous ship. There in the harbour.
She's Italian. She took refuge in Spanish waters when Italy entered the war.
And now it's stuck here?
Unless it makes a boat for it, which seems very unlikely.
Why?
Only a couple of days ago, they sent most of the officers and crew back by air, via Spain, leaving a skeleton crew under the second officer.
Good gracious. Oh, I must write and tell my husband about that. I can just hear him saying, typical of the Italians.
I gather your husband's on active service in the Cameroons.
Yes, that's right. I can't get in touch with him direct, so I've got to address everything care of Mr. Grant Ellison in Lagos, and he'll do his best to get it through to Tom.
Well, if there's any way I can be of help.
Oh, that's very kind of you. If you could just show me where the post office is so that I can inquire...
Look, Mrs. Bridgerton, you see that doorway?
Yes.
Well, that's my office. Government House is only a few hundred yards further on. Any letters, any telegrams you want sent, just drop them in there and I'll see that they catch the first available post.
That's awfully kind of you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Besides, one good turn deserves another. I've got the credit of helping Her Excellency out of a jam by introducing you.
Oh, I only hope I shan't let you down.
Of course you won't. She prides herself on being very English. So English, in fact, that some of the Spaniards here are quite shocked at her energy and independence. Now, we'll leave the car here and stroll up to the garden.
Oh, what about my luggage?
A servant will be sent to fetch it.
Her Excellency, Mr. Norton?
Indeed it is. I told you she was energetic.
Oh, she must be to play tennis in this heat. Against a man, too.
Is that the Italian ship's officer who's been left in charge of the liner? Oh. He's a great favourite.
Of Her Excellency's?
Yes, and of most of the residents here. Oh. They're all delighted he didn't have to go with the others.
Well, I must say, he is very good looking.
Yes, not a bad tennis player either.
He's been beaten.
Surely, Signora, with your English blood, you are a good loser, no?
When I play tennis, I'm all Spanish.
From now on, I remember that. But now you have visitors, huh?
Mr. Norton.
I hope I'm not intruding, Your Excellency, but I thought you'd wish me to bring Mrs. Bridgerton to you.
Of course. No one is more welcome than Mrs. Bridgerton.
How do you do?
I hope you had a comfortable voyage from Lagos and no alarms.
Oh, everything was quite peaceful, except the sea.
Ah, there, I guess, speaks the sufferer from seasickness, eh?
Yes, I'm afraid I am.
Madam, don't be ashamed of it. You are in good company. Your Admiral Nelson, Captain Cook... and myself.
Don't pay any attention to Paolo. Like all Italians, he talks first and thinks after. Now, Mrs. Bridgerton, if you will come with me, you
yes.
shall meet the children.
Of course. Au revoir, Mr. Norton, and thank you for being so helpful.
It's a pleasure.
Yes, yes.
Santa Maria, now I really do understand the description, an English rose.
I should keep that to yourself. Besides, I understand you're getting on very well with Her Excellency. Anyway, Mrs. Bridgerton is devoted to her husband.
As a ship's officer, Amico, I've had a wide experience of husbands. It has taught me to respect them when they're present. But when they're absent, well, to ignore them, no?
Ah, Senora Bridgerton, please to come in.
Could I speak to Senor Norton?
But he's not here, Senora.
Oh, when will he be back?
Esta noche, Senora.
Noche.
This evening, Senora.
Oh. Well, would you please tell him I have a letter to post?
Ah, si. The Senor has told me all about the letters. You will please to give it to me.
Oh, it's very important.
Si, si. I shall see to it. I shall arrange it.
Mrs. Bridgerton.
Oh, hello.
You remember me, Paolo?
Yes, of course.
I saw you enter the office of Signor Norton.
I was sending a letter to my husband.
That is as I imagined, and so I waited. It's almost a week since you arrived, and I haven't seen you again.
Well, I've been so busy looking after the children.
But today, now, not so busy?
Their mother has taken them to see some friends.
Then permit me to take you to see whatever you may wish?
Oh, well, I'm afraid I'm not much of a sightseer.
But my ship, wouldn't you be interested to see that?
Why should I be?
Well, you English are a nation of seafarers.
I'm not. You've forgotten I told you I was a bad sailor.
Signora, I've not forgotten a word you say to me. Nor am I likely to.
I don't remember saying anything very memorable.
We Italians are music lovers. And a voice that is truly simpatica That is the finest musical instrument of all.
I've never thought of a voice as an instrument.
Do you play the violin?
No.
But you have heard of a Stradivarius.
Oh, yes. It's an antique, isn't it? Very valuable.
Its value, madam, lies in the sheer beauty of the sounds which it produces.
Well, I really meant in money.
Well, music and money have only one connection. Both words beginning with the letter M.
Now, I never thought of that either.
You must surely have been told that you have the most beautiful speaking voice.
I have?
That is what I'm trying to tell you.
Oh, you're flattering me. My young brother always says it's like a hen squawking.
Then he must be very young, with no music in his soul.
Oh, he's nearly 11. I'm afraid I don't know much about his soul.
You know, I don't think a dusty street is the place to talk about serious matters.
What serious matters?
Souls and younger brothers who don't know their good fortune to have such a charming elder sister.
You are flattering me.
Come with me to the ship.
Oh.
And after I've shown you her newness and her beauty, I will offer you something for which I guess you have a secret longing.
What's that?
A cup of tea.
Now you really do tempt me.
I hope the tea is to your taste.
Lovely.
I've taken much, much trouble to teach our steward to make tea, even better than the English.
Well, that was clever of you.
Now, I think you are flattering me.
Oh, no, I always tell... I try to tell the truth.
Except when you're talking to me.
Do you always tell the truth?
To others? No. To you? Yes.
You've said some very nice things to me.
Is that a crime?
Oh, not if you meant them.
For me, to talk to you, it's so natural. And easy and delightful.
I'm glad.
How do you feel when you talk to me?
I enjoy it. If you want the truth, the nicer the things you say, the more I enjoy them.
I believe you say that from your heart.
Yes, I suppose I did.
I've heard you laugh.
Yes, I'm not a great one for laughing. In fact, I've been told I haven't got a sense of humor.
I will challenge whoever say that to a duel.
Oh, don't spoil it. We're talking about laughing, not fighting.
If it was your husband...
No, I don't want to talk about him.
Neither do I. There is so much more that we have to talk about together.
Such as?
First, how long do you stay in Saint Isabel?
Nearly 2 more weeks.
Oh, too short.
Oh, it's better than 2 days.
At least you would be here for the fiesta.
The fiesta?
Don't you know about
no.
the fiesta? It's the great occasion of the year in Saint Isabel, like Micareme on the Riviera.
Oh, I've never been there.
It's gay, it's procession, it's dancing. Oh, it's a great celebration.
And when is it?
Oh, it's Wednesday of next week. It starts at dusk and lasts all through the night until the morning.
Goodness.
His Excellency the Governor and Her Excellency, for them it is, I think you call it an open house.
Yes.
They give a very, very big party, supper, dancing.
And you are invited to this party?
I am. And I shall claim to be your escort.
Oh.
What's the matter?
I wish you hadn't told me about it.
Why?
Well, the children. I may not be able to be there.
You will be there, I told you. Everybody will be there.
Oh, surely. Not everybody. What about your crew?
Oh, Santa Maria, I couldn't stop them even if I tried.
But somebody will have to look after the ship.
Oh, yes. 2, perhaps 3 watchmen.
Isn't that a risk?
A risk? Of what?
Well, suppose... Thieves.
Carissima, there is no thief in Saint Isabel or anywhere else. They can steal an ocean liner.
Yes, I really meant that. What's the time?
Oh, it's still early. Not yet 6:30.
Oh, but that's terrible. I was due back at 6 o'clock to give the children their supper.
They don't need supper, those children. They're already too fast.
Oh, no, I must go. This very minute.
I will escort you.
Oh, no, you mustn't.
Why not?
Well, they would know then that I'd been with you.
I don't care.
But I do. Her Excellency would be very angry.
Now, listen, Carissa.
Oh,
I can't...
You mustn't call me that. Thank you, and goodbye.
When shall I see you again?
I don't know.
I insist, it's you that I shall escort for the fiesta.
Well, I'll tell you this. There's nothing I should like more. And that's the truth. Oh, Mr. Norton. Oh, thank goodness you're back.
Mrs. Bridgerton. I was just about to close the office.
I had to catch you.
You're quite out of breath. Please, sit down.
No. Listen, I've done a stupid thing.
We all do that sometimes.
Well, this afternoon I left a letter with your clerk for my husband.
My clerk has assured me it's already in the post.
Oh, dear. I did hope I might rescue it. I forgot to put something very important in it.
Why not send a telegram?
Oh, could I?
You see, I forgot to wish my husband many happy returns for his birthday.
That would never do. Now, what do you wish to say?
Oh, let me see. Forgot to send birthday wishes for Wednesday next.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday is Fiesta Day here, that's right, isn't it?
Mm, it certainly is. Everyone will be in the streets singing and dancing the night away.
Yes. Could you put that in, too?
Right. Also, there'll be fireworks. Make a hell of a noise, fireworks.
Yes, they do, don't they? Mention that as well. My husband loves fireworks.
I thought he might. Anything else?
Oh, just wish you were here, love, May.
Mr. Grant Ellison in?
No, sir, but soon, sir. Very soon.
I'll wait.
If you please. Through here, sir.
Right here.
Morning. Any post? Oh, your letters are on your desk, sir. Also a telegram.
Right.
Oh, and the gentleman is waiting to see you.
Oh? Tom. I thought you were still in the Cameroons. That's all fixed up. I came to pick up May, but the Lucases tell me she's not in Lagos. Nothing to worry about. I'll put you in the picture.
And about this?
What is it?
A telegram from May, here, lying on your desk.
You'd no right to open that.
Damn it, it's addressed to me. I think the woman's gone mad.
What did she say?
Forgot to send birthday wishes for Wednesday next. She knows perfectly well my birthday's on Christmas Day.
What else did she say?
Wednesday is Fiesta Day. Everyone will be in the streets, singing and dancing. Lots of fireworks. Wish you could be here, love, Meg.
Ye gods, lots of fireworks. She's the tops, your wife. Get Commander Anderson at Naval Headquarters on the telephone, quick.
Very good, sir.
Tell him I'm on my way to see him. Then telephone the Tugmaster's office and ask him to meet me on the quayside at 11 o'clock.
This telegram was sent from Santa Isabel. What the hell's going on?
I got her a job there, to keep her from worrying while you were away.
What sort of job?
Oh, she's with the governor of Fernando Po's wife. She's half English and she wanted someone to look after her kids while their English governess was in hospital.
Have you gone crazy, Mervyn? I won't have my wife acting as a ruddy nursemaid.
Well, it was such excellent cover, I couldn't afford to waste it.
Cover?
She's also doing a job for me.
What sort of job?
Nothing to worry about.
I want to know what the job is.
She's helping me pinch an Italian liner.
Very funny.
Excuse me, sir. Commander Anderson will be going out in half an hour. He says, please, to pull this key, sir.
Right. Now the tugmaster, and quick.
As you say, sir. Quick as lightning.
Sorry, Tom, I'll have to dash.
Like hell you will. You've no right to give May a job without consulting me.
For God's sake, Tom, be your age. There's a war on.
I don't give a damn about the war. Not where May's concerned. Either you tell me what you've got her mixed up in, or I shall bloody well go to Fernando Po and fetch her back myself.
All in good time. All in good
time. You tell me right now, Mervyn.
I will tell you everything over lunch at the club. Now be a good chap and let me go. I've got work to do.
Have the other half, Tom. You look as though you need it.
You bet I will.
Boy, two large pink chins, please.
Tell me, Mervyn, you're really serious about this lunch?
Totally serious.
One does not get a chance like this.
I must admit it's not a bad idea.
Are you sure the Navy will play?
Quite sure. I got it all fixed this morning.
And the SNO has given it his official blessing?
Of course he hasn't. Thank you. In no circumstances can anything be official. It's a lucky coincidence that one of their craft will be patrolling just outside the 3-mile limit next Wednesday night.
Yes, I understand. So, you're all set?
Not quite. I ran into a snag this morning.
What sort of snag?
The tugmaster's being difficult.
Paddy Thompson?
That's right. Says he hasn't got an ocean-going tug available.
I'm pretty sure I could fix something.
Hmm?
He was my fag at school.
Then have a crack at him immediately after lunch.
Okay. Wait a minute. This is your show. I'm not in on it.
Of course you are. I thought you were still tied up in the Cameroons, or I'd have brought you in from the start.
We settled the business rather sooner than expected.
I gather that from an action point of view, it was rather a flop.
There wasn't any fighting, if that's what you mean.
If there had been, no doubt your chaps could have coped.
I'll say they could. I had a first-class bunch.
This show's bound to be a bit different, you know.
How so?
Even if there's only a skeleton crew, there's certain to be a punch-up.
While the hawsers are being cut and the tow rope pitched.
That's right. I've got to find some reliable chaps for that job.
How many?
Half a dozen.
I can find them for you. That is, if Jimmy Senn doesn't object.
No, he won't. I got the governor to speak to him this morning.
Are you suggesting I come along with you?
Why not? It's better than you careering off to Santa Isabel on your own and mucking up the whole operation.
There's nothing I'd like better. But...
But what?
I'm still not happy about May.
You should be. She's doing a marvellous job.
Maybe.
If it hadn't been for May, we'd never have known that next Wednesday was the day to choose.
She may feel I've let her down.
She thinks you're still in the Cameroons.
You've no right to ask her to do it without my consent.
Okay. I was in the wrong. But you must admit I'm doing my best to make up for it by taking you along to share in May's fiesta.
May?
Who is it?
Paolo.
Who?
Why are you not at the governor's party?
Oh, I'm in disgrace.
Why?
I have been since the other evening when I was late for the children's supper.
But this is ridiculous.
Well, I couldn't let you know. Her Excellency told me to wait in my room so that if the children got tired, I could put them to bed.
Oh, yes, tonight. It is unheard of.
There's nothing I can do. She's still very angry because I said I'd been having tea with you.
I, too, am angry. I shall take my revenge on her. I shall collect my men and march them back to the ship.
Oh, no, Paolo, you mustn't do that.
Anything to spoil a fiesta for her.
Please, Paolo, no.
Then you come down now and come with me.
But we'll be seen.
Not if we go to the ship.
What?
That is what I plan we should do. There is a fiesta supper waiting for you in the cabin. The champagne is already on ice. And think of the great kindness you'll be doing for my crew to stay at the fiesta.
I haven't thought of that.
They will regard you as their patron saint. So carissima, avanti, andiamo, eh?
Why are we slowing down, Mervyn?
We're just entering the harbour. I want to use the shelter of the breakwater.
What's the point?
You seem to have forgotten, Tom, that the Spaniards have a battery of artillery up on the hill.
There's all the shindig that's going on. I doubt if there's anyone up there.
No point in running risks. I want to get as close as we can to the ship so that Chris can swim out to the anchor chain and fix the jelly.
Fair enough. It'll also help my boarding team. The quicker we can get on board and cope with the watch, the better.
Jim and his lot can't cut the hawsers till you do. Then they'll help you fix the tow rope.
I'm sorry about one thing.
What's that?
I've been thinking about May. I wish we could have arranged to pick the old girl up too.
Don't be a bloody fool. There's no point in her blowing a cover unnecessarily. She's much better off where she is.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't expecting that.
It's not as loud as fireworks, but it's just as exciting.
What time is it?
I don't know. I don't care. Except that our fiesta has just started. Mm. Now, I propose you a toast. Mm. To Paolo and Francesca.
To Paolo and Francesca. Who are they?
Have you not heard of Paolo and Francesca?
No, not that I can remember.
Their story is part of our Italian heritage.
Oh, you mean the legend?
More than that. It's one of the great love stories of the ages.
Oh.
And that is all that you can say, Paul?
Well, will you like it better if I say, please give me some more champagne?
If it is to drown your sorrows.
Oh, I didn't say that.
I would still have given it to you.
Why?
Because it would be a shame to spoil a love story.
What a funny thing to say.
No, love is never funny. It's often... what's the word I want?
Overvalued.
Certainly not. That is impossible.
Oh. Misunderstood?
If you like. There are so many different sides to love. It's sometimes forgotten that in real love, there is often great tenderness.
Yes. But there's also such a lot that has to be just practical.
Practical?
Well, if it isn't practical, it can't get anywhere, can it? What's the time?
Forget the time.
That's what I'm nearly doing.
Time, practical things. What they have to do with romance.
Oh, is there such a thing?
Only you can answer that, Francesca.
I've never really thought about it much. Till tonight.
You realize what you have just said?
Yes. I don't think I did when I said it.
For me, true romance is the rarest and the most beautiful thing in the world.
Oh, yes. Very rare. But...
But what?
Oh, Paolo, the last thing in the world I want is to hurt you.
We are not talking of hurt, but of fulfillment.
We have an expression in English. Throwing one's cup over the windmill.
Please?
Oh, well, it means forgetting all the practical things. Going quite mad and enjoying it.
Have you ever done that?
No.
Could you ever do that?
Oh, that's the trouble. Tonight I think I could.
Oh, Francesca. My sweet, sweet Francesca. Now I put my arms around you.
Oh.
I hold you very, very close.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kiss you.
Oh, hey, what was that? Where are you going? Hey, where are you going?
I'm sorry, Paolo. Terribly sorry.
You have locked the door. Let me out.
No, I can't. I can't.
What's happening? I locked the door.
No, I can't. For your sake, I can't, Paolo.
What the hell's going on here?
God,
Meg. What the blazes are you doing on the ship?
Oh, I had to come. Just keep an eye. Look out. One of the watch.
That'll keep him quiet for a bit.
Open the door. Take me out.
Who the devil?
It's the ship's officer. I've locked him in his cabin.
Mervyn said he'd be at the Fiesta with all the others.
Yes, so he was. With me.
Why you?
Well, so that I could keep an eye on him. I let him escort me, and then he insisted that we come on the ship and have supper in his cabin.
Damn cheek. Doesn't he know that you're married?
Of course he does.
You shouldn't have come with him.
Oh, I had to, Tom. I had to keep him occupied until the tug arrived. And then suddenly there was a big explosion quite close.
That was our chap blowing the anchor chain.
Yes, I guessed it must be. So I ran out and locked him in. Oh, the ship's moving.
That means they've cut the hawsers and rigged the tow line.
Francesca! I beg you, leave me, Francesca, and lock the door.
Francesca?
He doesn't know what he's saying. He's hysterical.
I'd better go in and shut his
mouth. Oh, no, Tom, leave him. He can't do any harm, not now.
Sure he didn't bother you?
Quite sure.
I must say, old girl, you put up a damn good show.
I did my best, Tom.
I'm jolly proud of you.
Thank you.
Now, let's go down to the foredeck and see how we're going. There's a stiffish breeze and it's quite choppy, even in the harbour.
I'm afraid I'll have to find somewhere to lie down.
Lie down?
Beginning to feel a bit sick.
I've forgotten. Poor old girl. What with being a bad sailor and having had to cope with that Dago, no wonder you're feeling under the weather.
Mm.
But it'll soon be over now. Once we're back in Lagos, we'll settle down to a normal life again.
And that's just what we did, Mr. Grinton. And it lasted 30 happy years.
The Navy took over the ship.
Oh, everything went according to plan.
And Paolo with it.
Well, I imagine so. I never saw or heard of him again.
And your husband, he didn't hold your supper party in the cabin against you?
On the contrary, it became one of his standard jokes. He dined out on that story for years.
But it only goes to show you can't go wrong by telling the truth.
Yes, that's what I've always believed. The trouble is, on this occasion, it wasn't the whole truth.
How do you mean?
Well, I've never told anyone before. In all fairness, I suppose I have to tell you. I enjoyed every second that I spent with Paolo.
But I thought, well, you were playing him up to gain time.
Oh, I was. But at the same time, I was reveling in it. Never in my life, before or since, have I felt like I did when I was with Paolo. If that tug had been delayed, my cap would have been right over the windmill.
Well, I'm glad.
It's been on my conscience all my life, Mr. Grinton. And now that I've lived through it all over again, put it into words for the first time, I've suddenly realized that I must be a very wicked woman. I probably deserve everything that's going to happen to me.
Mrs. Bridgerton,
sorry,
now please, there's no need to upset yourself.
Well,
just stay here a minute.
Yes.
It's the old lady, Miss Oliver. She's broken down.
Oh, you mean fainting?
No, she's crying her eyes out. There in my office. Take her a glass of water or something and see if we can calm her down.
I'll attend to her, Mr. Grinton.
And then take her down to the main entrance, put her in a taxi and pay for it.
You're letting her go, then?
I am.
You're satisfied?
I'm not satisfied about anything. All I want is to be rid of her.
I'll see to it, Mr. Grinton.
That, Commissioner? Mr. Grinton, my secretary will be bringing down a customer. I want her put in a taxi. Yes, yes, I know they're difficult to get at this time of day. Get one now and keep it waiting. Call me back when you've got one.
She's gone, Mr. Grinton.
You mean on her own?
She's pulled herself together. She asked me to give you her apologies for losing control, and she wouldn't hear of my getting her a taxi.
Oh, well, that was up to her as long as...
I'm sorry to bother you again, Mr. Grinton, but I think you've got something of mine.
Well, what, Mrs. Bridgerton?
My shopping bag. Oh, yes, there it is on that chair. I'll just take the goods out of it.
Don't bother. Give Mrs. Bridgerton the bag just as it is.
But the goods aren't paid for, Mr. Grinton.
I'll see to that. Leave it to me.
Now, that's what I call a truly generous gesture, Mr. Grinton. Well, I can't truthfully say it's been a pleasure to meet you. But at least we part on good terms. Good day to you both. Good day. What an extraordinary lady. She recovered remarkably quickly. I wonder...
So do I, Miss Oliver. So do I.
In The Shoplifter by A.R. Rawlinson, the part of May Bridgerton was played by Elizabeth Proud and Harvey Grinton by James Cousins. Tom Bridgerton was played by Christopher Good, Mervyn by Sean Barrett, Paolo by Leonardo Pieroni, Norton by John Rowe, and Miss Oliver by Hilary Sester. Jimmy Send was played by Patrick Barr, Mrs. Send by Cecil Chevreau, May's mother by Irene Sutcliffe, her father by James Thomason, her sister by Anne Rosenfelt, and her brother by Earl Rhodes. The ship's officer was played by Steve Hodson, the Spanish governor's wife by Carol Boyd, the British governor by William Fox, the minister by Michael Harbour, the man in the restaurant by Simon Jones, and the secretary and clerk by Ilario Bisipedro.
Once in a while, will you try to give one little thought to me? Oh, someone else may be nearer your heart. Once in a while, will you dream of the moments I shared with you? Moments before we two drifted apart. In love's smoldering ember, one spark may remain. If love still can remember, the spark may burn again. I know that I'll be contented with yesterday's memory, knowing you'll think of me once in a while.
The technical assistants were Patience Pratt, Penny Lester, and John Walsh. The Shoplifter was produced and directed by Gordon House.